If you're able, would you stand for the reading of the scriptures? And it's the same scripture that we had last week, but we're going to be completing the teaching on this salvation by grace. And so if you give attention to verses 8 through 9 of the third chapter, I beg your pardon, of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May the Lord add unto us the hearing, the understanding, and the receiving of this, his holy word. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. To grow in faith and understanding is a joy to those who love the Lord, but it is also an insurance policy against error. And, as pastor of this church, the one thing I want to make sure that is done during my tenure here is that we have laid a firm foundation and a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is crucial in our time. There is so much confusion today in the world, and a lot of that is the result of churches having to be, failing to be clear on what the scriptures teach. You know, in the beginning of these series, and I'm going to remind you again and again so it kind of gets written on your brain, I said that it is important to understand that we must lay our foundation on the Holy Scripture. That is God's truth. There is no other basis for understanding a life or understanding reality that does not come and is not shaped by the Holy Word of God. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. And then we also look that Christ is the only way to salvation. He is the only Messiah. He is the only Savior. It's important the church understand that. It is important the church be urgent to the world that people find a living faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week we saw that we are saved not because we are worthy. We are saved in our unworthiness. We are saved by God's divine gracious choice to allow us to hear the gospel. And today we're going to talk about that marvelous event that he works in our life, faith. For we are saved by grace, God's loving, gracious calling to himself, to those who hear the gospel and respond. That's God's gracious choice. I hope that you are taking my cue from last week, that throughout the day you give God thanks that he even allowed you to hear the gospel. Because unless you hear, you cannot know. And unless you know, you do not know what to believe. So God is gracious to us. And today I want to talk to you about faith. Paul, in this text today, reminds us that even faith itself is a gift of God. When a person hears the graceful invitation, God works a work of the Holy Spirit in their heart that not only calls, but enables them to respond in faith. That, too, is a gift of God's mercy and grace. He helps us when we are weak and unable even to believe, to create in us faith. And I want to talk to you a little bit about faith this morning. What does the Bible mean when it uses the word faith? And what are the marks of true faith in a believer? You know, some people think that just to acknowledge Jesus is faith. Just to recognize that he's the Messiah, that is faith. But that's not true. That's not what the New Testament means by faith. It certainly means that, and we'll look at that in a moment. But I've run into people who say, oh, I believe in Christ, but they never come to church. And I hear all kinds of filth come out of their mouth. And I go out of my way to be with people like that instantly. It doesn't offend me. You know, it's pretty hard to offend me. But I get around those kind of people because I'm concerned about them and hoping God opens the door. But that's not what the Bible means by faith. Faith has a content biblically. One of my favorite writers is the French writer Georges Bernanos. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but he wrote a few books. He was a Christian in France in the 1930s when it was very unpopular to be a Christian, and they were often made fun of and discounted. But, you know, I don't think I ever ran across a person with as many insights into God's truth in a novel as I've run into in his. And one of my favorite novels that he wrote is called The Diary of a Country Priest, and it's about a godly Catholic priest. They're out there, lots of them. But it's a godly Catholic priest who is so burdened for the spiritual welfare of his people. And he's so wanting to, and he talks to all of them. He even talks to the people that hate the church. Now, the young priest is dying of cancer. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. And a lot of the parish think he's an alcoholic because he falls down sometimes and passes out. But he's just really a godly man. But I got a great insight on the world and how it looks at faith from that book. And there's this old doctor who's an unbeliever. He's treating this young man, and the old doctor claims to be an atheist. And he said, "I once had a faith," said the doctor, "but I lost it a long time ago." And the priest makes a comment in his journal. He says, what one means when they say they've lost their faith is not that they've really lost anything. What they mean is that faith no longer shapes their life. And, of course, we have to infer from that the real meaning of faith, don't we? That real faith is not something you lose. Real faith is something that shapes your life. And that comes very close to what the New Testament teaches about faith. Faith is not just acknowledgement. I often tell you all in Bible studies, the devil himself acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and Lord. And I would say this, that the devil understands that far more profoundly than we do, that he is the Lord. The only thing is that he hates it and rejects his authority. So it's not just acknowledged. James says in his letter, he says, oh, you say God is one, and right you are, but he said, remember also the devil's confessed that. So faith cannot just mean acknowledgement. It does mean acknowledgement. It does mean that. But true faith involves a totality of your life. You know, the Greek language is much more complex than the English language. They say English is the hardest language in the world to learn. That may be true. I think Finnish would be hard. It has about 15 times more cases than English has. But anyway, whatever. But Greek is a very precise language, you see. Our language, the English language, developed out of trading. You know, you go to Africa, most places you'll find somebody that speaks Swahili. Well, Swahili is the same kind of language. It was put together using the many languages around it. English was done the same way. English is composed of Old German, Old French, some of the native words of the original Celts who lived in England. So it's a trade language. And one thing about trade languages, they are not marked by precision. But Greek is marked by precision. And if you look in the Greek, there are many words for acknowledgement. Some mean assent, but or agreement too. But the word for faith, pistos, is the strongest word you can have to speak about faith or belief. It's the Greek root word for both belief or believing and faith. And that word carries with it the totality of commitment. In other words, it is the chief, one of the chief reference points for your life. So that's why I'm always very careful when I talk about faith, and I'm sure that you all have caught on to it after all these years of being bored by me, when I tell you that I describe faith as a living faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when Paul talks about faith, he's talking about that very totality of commitment to Christ. And so the person who has faith does confess it. But simply, Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 15, says there are a lot of people that praise me with their lips, but their hearts are what? Far from me. So it has to mean more than that. I want to just give you a quick outline that will help you remember. I came up with this years ago. It's not particularly novel, I guess, but you know what anagrams are? Anagrams are sentences where each letter stands for something. Those of you remember that, you know. It's not a synonym, but it tells you. And so I want to just give you a little anagram to help you carry in your mind and heart a clear picture of what true faith is. And he uses the two English words. They don't make a sentence, but just two English words, at, you know, the preposition at, and then the verb do, D-O. True faith has acknowledgement, complete acknowledgement, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. When you hear the gospel by God's grace revealed to you, one of the things the Holy Spirit does to you is that you acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, what do we mean by Messiah? Well, we ought to know by now. Messiah means the promised one of God, the Savior of the world. All the titles we ascribe to Christ can be subset under that term, Messiah. We acknowledge that he is the Messiah. The night I was saved by God's grace, apart from nothing that I had done, one of the things that I acknowledged was that Jesus really was the only Savior of the world and my only Savior. I acknowledged that. I confessed that. I acknowledged that in my head, but also in my heart. What does Paul say in Romans? That whoever confesses that God raised Jesus from the dead and believes in their heart that he was resurrected will be saved. And what Paul in that one sentence says that the true acknowledgement of Christ involves commitment to him. So then the word T stands for trust. A true faith in Jesus Christ involves us trusting him. You know, I said before, I said again, because I want you to remember it. You know, we have feelings sometimes, and sometimes those feelings maybe want to say, well, God doesn't care about me, or if I were going through this, God surely would act, or, you know, all kinds of things. If my youngest son, he had an affection for fire. You know, that's not a good thing. He was always messing with it. When a little guy, he set the curtains on in his bedroom on fire one time, messing around with a cigarette lighter he'd found in the road. And his older brother, who was always protective of him, tore him down with his little hands, threw him in the trash can, poured water on him, took him out in the woods and buried him like I wouldn't know that the curtains were gone and there were black marks on the wall. But he had that interest. He turned out fine. God saved that boy. I didn't. He did. But he acknowledged that Jesus is the Savior, and he lives it. So, you know, Paul says that it's not just confessing with your lips, it's believing in your heart. So that's the kind of acceptance. But we trust him in times of difficulty. I trusted the Lord those boys would work out all right. I worked really hard. I know you parents, isn't that the chief worry you have about your kids, is that they turn out in the Lord's way? But I trusted God. I trusted what His Word said. He said, if you raise this child up in the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. I had to wait a while to see God fulfill that promise, but I trusted Him. And I've been in places where my health had taken a turn for the worst. And I trusted God to be in it whether I got well or not. That's what real faith means, you know. I'll trust you, Lord, if you make me well. No, I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm always telling you people, don't believe in your feelings unless what those feelings are telling you conforms to the Word of God and what Jesus promised. Feelings are just feelings. It might have more to do with what you had for supper last night than what's really going on in the world. Trust in Jesus. Real faith is a trusting faith. At acknowledgement, T, trust. Some years ago, I think we passed out, and Elizabeth and I are going to do it again this Christmas, because I really, really want you to have it. I'm not going to be around forever. Lord may take me home tonight. That'll be fine. Best of all. But someday I'm going to get old and the rest of my teeth will fall out and I'm going to have to retire. But there's one thing I want you to do is I want you to trust in the promises of God. We gave a book out. Keith shared what a strength that little book was to him when his precious Sheila was so sick. But it's called Bible Promises. And I want everybody to be sure they have one. So I'm telling you already, don't look for a new car for me for Christmas this year. It's not going to happen. But God willing, we are going to give enough of those books out so everybody gets one. And I hope you'll treasure it. My mother gave it to me years ago, and it's been a blessing. I've worn out three since she gave it to me. But to trust in God's promises, that's what you... Faith always involves trusting, true faith, acceptance of Christ as your Messiah, and trust in His Word and promises in all circumstances. Jesus will never fail you. The more you walk with Him, the more you realize that's true. Jesus never fails. The other one is D, dependence. True faith involves absolute dependence in your life on Jesus Christ. It involves depending on Him to know your sins are forgiven. You know, once you accept Christ, does the old devil still punch you? Money, does he still punch you? Gail, does he ever still punch you? You know, he punches. One thing he wants to say to us is, you're not worthy. You know you're not. Well, I don't depend on that. I depend on what Jesus said. Whosoever believeth in me, what, shall be saved. I depend on Him. I depend on not what the world tells me to assure my life. I depend on what He tells me. I depend on Him. You know, Elizabeth and I, as I've told you before, every night we pray for all of you all who are sick and those of you dealing with issues and people that have needs all over the world. We don't go to bed or sleep right away. We have that prayer. But we always pray the Lord's Prayer because, of course, it's the model prayer. But what do you say? Give us, O Lord, our daily bread. And what that means is that we trust in Him. We remind ourselves to trust in Him to sustain us and to give us what we need. No, it's not always what we want, but what we need. And you know what? I've lived past the time the Bible promises we'll live. If you understand how old that is, go look it up in the Bible. But the thing is that I have never seen my Lord fail to give me what I need. In times of great spiritual challenge, and we all face them. Different contexts, but we all face them. We don't depend upon ourselves to get through it that we can't even see, but we depend on Christ. And the person who has real faith has that dependence upon Jesus. They look unto Him. And next comes the hard word for some of us. It's hard for me. And the second letter in the word do is obedience. obedience. Now, obedience is a part of true faith. Obedience to Jesus. He says in John chapter 14, verse 1, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You see, any person in true faith has a great love for Jesus because of the great salvation they've received freely from him. And so if you have a great received faith, you have a great love for the Lord. I love Elizabeth tons, but she knows I love the Lord more, and I don't think she'd want it any other way. And I know she loves the Lord more than she loves me. I wouldn't want it any other way, would you? Because love's created in our heart when we come to true faith. And so if we love the Lord, we're obedient to him. And we know what the Lord teaches. At least I hope you're reading your Bibles enough to know it. That in the circumstances we face in life, our choice is to not to do what we think is right. Our choice is to do what Christ wants. To forgive one another. That's not an option. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer every night, that's a scary time at one phrase. Do you know what it is? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Any person who holds any animosity in their heart towards a believer or an unbeliever who prays that prayer had better be scared stiff, because if they get what they ask, their forgiveness will not come. You understand what I'm saying? The true faith means that you follow Christ. You forgive those who do you wrong. And we could go to the host of his whole teachings. To believers, love one another as I've loved you. Wow. How's Jesus love? Does Jesus love us only when we're likable? No. You know, I hate to say it, not in this church. But I've had in the church a few parishioners who really got under my skin. Now, that was a spiritual fault that had happened to begin with. But I know that I've got to love that person just like Jesus loves me when I get under his skin. And to care for me as he cares for them, as he cares for me. Read your Bibles, folks. Get to know Jesus and the Word of God. And be obedient to him. So a person who has true faith, is a person who acknowledges with their mouth and with their heart that Jesus is the Messiah, but also that he is their own Messiah. You know, it's important the church confess that Jesus is the Messiah. It's also, if we're going to have real faith, for us to confess he's really my Messiah. He's really my Lord. He's really my Master. So it's to acknowledge that at the depth of our life, to trust him, to trust that he will do what he promises. You know what he promised me? He promised me that though I was a sinner, unworthy of the kingdom of God, his grace covered all my sins and he made me worthy. I trust that. You know, I don't trust in Gerald Sanders. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many other levels we need to receive that. So we acknowledge and we trust. Then we depend on him. You know, Dolly Parton, she's a famous Tennessean. We're not famous for football anymore. I got so many alligator tracks on my back this morning, you'd be just shocked if I took my shirt off. That alligator went through us like a side of beef. But anyway, but Dolly Parton's a famous Tennessean, a great singer, done a lot of good in the world. But she sang a song about not knowing what tomorrow holds, but who holds tomorrow. I pray that's true for her life. I pray that's true for all of our lives. We depend upon the one who holds us and holds tomorrow. And that changes your whole outlook on life. You know, a lot of people worry themselves sick and are anxious. Worry does absolutely no good. All your worry does is give you acid indigestion, possibly an ulcer. Because worry can't do a thing to change situations. Did you know that? But we depend upon a Savior who we pray to in times of anxiety and worry. We pray to Him, and we trust Him that He's going to take care of it, that He's going to be there with us through it, whatever comes. So we depend on Him. We depend on Him. And finally, we will obey Him. It will be our goal to obey Him. You know why the real saved person obeys? We don't obey to gain anything. I get kind of tickled sometimes. I get these things on Facebook. If you will repeat this scripture verse 5 times, then you will receive money in the mail or somewhere. That is terrible. People put those things up. What they ought to put up was, if you trust Jesus, no matter what your difficulties are, He's going to be there with you. And He may not send you a lot of money, but He'll bring you out at the right place. That's what we really ought to put up there. So dependence on Him. Obedience to Him. You obey Jesus to love your enemies, not because the world says get even, and it's thinking, because you love your enemies. Why? Because Jesus told me to love them and to pray for those people that despitefully use me. We obey it. We obey Him when He gives us a call to a work that we may not want to do. I had a friend that had a little daughter born blind. She had to have regular medication that had to be kept absolutely cold till they used it, and God gave both him and his wife a burden for a seminary that I and a bunch of other Christians were helping get started in down in Mindanao, the southern region of the Philippines. And I didn't ask him to do it. God, he would just happened to be. He had a PhD. We need a PhD in the Old Testament. God put it on his heart to go there. And he and his wife prayed, because how's this medicine thing going to work out? Our little daughter needs it, and et cetera. But they depended on him. They were obedient. They took that call, and God worked all that out fine. Thanks to some wonderful Christians who happened to be in the government there in Mindanao. Took care of all of it. Depend, obey Him. So believers, when someone says, what does faith really mean? We'll do it with at do, remember? At do. It means acceptance or acknowledgement that Jesus is a Savior. Not just a Savior of the world, but your personal Savior. It means that you trust Him, that you don't look to what the world promises, you don't look to the world's assurances, you trust Him for what He assures you. It means that do. You depend on Him. You depend on Him. I know some of you right now, we've talked about it, are going through some hard personal choices right now. And you ask me for the answer. I don't always have the answer. I confess that. Give you a little advice. Hopefully it's godly advice. But I will say to you today, depend on Him. Depend on Him. Trust that He will work this situation out. Because you belong to Him. And you may not have liked the outcome for a moment, but in the long run, you'll see His hand in it. Obey Him. We're always pushed, even believers, to disobey the way of the Lord, aren't we? We always want to hold grudges, or we're always wanting to think this way when we know it's not right. Obey Him. Obey Him. So true faith, real faith, as the Bible says, and it's a gift of God. True faith is a gift of God. We know what it is, and as we receive it, it reshapes our life. A person who says they believe in Christ and has never had their life changed has a world's belief and not a biblical belief. True faith is indeed a living, something we process in, faith, acknowledgement, trust, dependence, obedience, working itself out in our life. So the house says, we are saved by grace. What? How do we get received? Through faith. It is the working of God within you. Faith is a gift too. And it leads to that real life-changing lifestyle. Faith is really a lifestyle. Not because I say it is, because God's Word says it is. And apart from faith, you cannot receive the grace, because they come together. I hope that's helped today. I hope that when somebody will say, Eddie, tell me what real faith is. I'm not sure I know. That Eddie will be able to tell them biblically. Well, it's been a joy being with you this morning. Hope I haven't bored you out of your mind. And I hope God has written some of His truth on your heart. The Lord bless you.